Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
And verse 12, it's a famous line of scripture, but it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Fight the good fight of faith. I like that. I like that attitude regarding faith. I like the attitude of, I don't think it should be a surprise. I think in our culture, more often than not, faith is offered as a healing salve for brokenhearted people and something that's God compensates us with this hope of eternity and faith. But I think it's probably not often presented as a battle royal. That's what Paul is writing to his son Timothy in this by the Holy Spirit. The faith is a battle. Faith is a fight. And he's saying, fight the good fight of faith. Don't shrink back from fighting the good fight of faith that you're invited to battle. Humans are warriors. Humans are fighters. I don't know if you know that about you all or not, about yourselves or not. As sort of passive as we like to make ourselves seem as Christians, the truth is, deep down inside, we're fighters. We are fighters. You know, they've given us TV sports in our generation. They've given us certain ways to sort of safely do a pressure relief valve on our desire for conflict, our desire for fight. Wherever you have human beings gathered together, you have bickering going on and squabbling from time to time and people having a hard time getting along with each other. Why? Because we're fighters. So if we're fighters, and that's true, that's part of our nature, that we're fighters, it's like that old Braveheart movie, right? When his army, his guys are all painted in blue faces, and he says to, you know, says to his men, "I'm going to go pick a fight." And the English army is on the other side. You know, and that's like a great moment in that movie. So we have the opportunity to fight a fight. We fight the good fight of faith. Our faith is not a given. You notice most people in our community are not here this morning. They're drinking coffee. You know, they're enjoying themselves. They're doing whatever they do. There's so many cultural, social activities that have consumed Sunday mornings, that church used to own Sunday mornings, but doesn't own Sunday mornings anymore. Now, lots of things compete for Sunday morning time and space. And so I like the idea that we have to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, lay hold of it, fight for it, contend for it, because there are forces in the world. Stuff's contending for your faith. Stuff is looking to take your faith away. Stuff is looking to tire you out, to make you feel alone, to make you feel silly, to make you feel like you're not significant. And so faith is a fight. We have to fight the fight of faith. And there's material. We're very richly blessed in the Christian world, in the Christian community, to have plenty of material to help us in our mind to be able to build up a faith system that we can build walls enough to withstand the battering of the world. And how does the world assault our faith? Well, through the intellectual world, through the, you know, through the non-believing intellectual world, our faith is battered. Go to college sometime. If you go to high school sometime, your faith is going to take a beating. You know, go outside, watch TV, you know, watch any show. Just tell me if you've seen any positive depiction of a Christian on your TV set in the last 25 years. I haven't. Because they're fighting the fight for faith too. They're fighting the fight for their non-faith. We're fighting the fight for faith. They're fighting the fight for non-faith. They don't want to believe that they're going to stand one day before a holy God and account for their lives, account for their decisions, account for their way of life, account for how they've conducted themselves. And that's our word. Sin is a huge issue, or else God wouldn't have sent his son to die a brutal, despicable death on a cross, to be whipped, to be beaten, to be punched, to be nailed to a cross, to be hung on a tree, to be bled out like a stuck pig. God wouldn't have done that to his son if sin wasn't a very serious issue. And Jesus didn't die on the cross to give us a license to sin. He gave us freedom from sin. Yeah? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. You know, we got married, we were 20 years old. I was raised in a traditional type church. We got married at 20 years old. I left church. I left church. Nancy was sort of not a very church-going person. They had a family faith, but she didn't really go very much. And the very summer we got married in May of 1977, I stopped going to church and Nancy got saved. So she got serious about God when I was looking to get myself, put my little distance between me and God. Because mom didn't make me go to church anymore. And so Nancy starts hounding me. Then she gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you know, she becomes crazy, religiously crazy. So anyway, she hounded me for 5 or so years. And I ran myself into the ground, always knowing the answer was God, but not really wanting to do that. I was driven to my knees. And when I was driven to my knees and I humbled myself before God and I asked him if he would do something. You know, it's when somebody really has God and they're all lit up with God, it's so annoying because you can't imagine it. There's no way you can even connect. She had something. But I don't even know if I wanted what she had. You know what I mean? I don't know if I wanted what she had because I didn't know that she actually had something on the inside. I knew she behaved a particular way on the outside, but I didn't know that you can have something different on the inside. So I knelt down on the floor, said, God, if you're up there, Jesus, and all this stuff that Nancy's talking about is true, I would like to have it signed, Robert Englehart. Thank you very much, sir. Nice talking to you. And I felt another. I experienced something I had never experienced before. But in a print shop in Glens Falls, New York, in November of 1982, kneeling on a wooden pallet in the basement of that thing, all alone, with no stained glass and no candles and no smoke and no smells and bells, I said, God, if you're there, I sure need something. I sure need something. And there was a movement. There was an other. There was an other. There was a movement. There was a presence. There was a there was a presence. And it lit up my body and I felt it. And it wasn't me having some kind of spell or having some swooning, supernatural swooning, emotional thing. I'm a kraut. I'm not emotional. Half a kraut. It was God. He touched me. Isn't there a song, He Touched Me? I wish I could sing. I would sing it to you. He touched me. He touched me. I felt him, another, an invisible one, who swept over my body. He touched me. And I knew, you know what he said to me? No words in my ears. What I knew in every molecule of my body is that he loved me. He loved me. I knew he loved me. I didn't love me. I didn't love me. He loved me. He loved me. He loved me. He loves me. God loves me. What can be better than that? God loves me. What can be better than that? You can't touch me. He loves me. He made everything. He loves me. But you know what you find out? That go juice gave me about 5 years. That go juice, that one little drop of go juice, spook, 5 years. But at some point, you got to come up to the surface. And you got to follow the word of God that says, fight the good fight of faith. I liked it better when God's instant atomic go juice was carrying me forward. I didn't have any choice but to read the Bible. Every time I read the Bible, I met the guy who just touched me. I knew it. Read the Bible. Yeah, that's him. That's that thing that touched me. That's God. So you read it, and not only you read it, you remember it. I'd read Bible before. This is the most boringest book a human could ever read. It's intolerable. The begats. A rutabaga begat. Mashed potato begat. It's begats. And all of a sudden, I could see. And the words jumped out of the page into my heart. And I found out along the way that you get to join in on a fight. I like that. Listen, I like coming to Margaretville in a little broken down church 3 miles down the road and start talking about Jesus. Start saying Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. We're picking a fight. We're picking the fight. We're going to define in our community who is God. I say Jesus. We're fighting the fight of faith. And the multitude of people is the honor of a king. That's what the proverb says. And the multitude of people is the honor of a king. Why do we want to fill this church up? Because in the multitude of people is the honor of a king, King Jesus. It says, with few people is the shame of a prince. We want a big old crowd for Jesus. The Bible says there's a picture of people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation, multitudes of people that no one could count, gathered before the throne of the king. That's what we're shooting for. Right? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So, I don't know, it was 1994 or 5. We first went on the radio. So we got 20-something years. Doing what? laying hold of eternal life to which we were called, and confessing the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Get it? Confessing the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What's the good confession? Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm the way and the truth and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is alive. And there are some of you here today who have not experienced the otherness of God. Your mind has drawn you to it because you said that makes sense. That's God too. But God is here for you to experience. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send back another comforter like me who will be with you always. It's the Holy Spirit. Now go wait in Jerusalem and I'm going to send you this other comforter. And that's the other on this planet. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Do you know where Paul wrote Philippians from? Yeah? Jail. You know what the theme of the book of Philippians is? Joy. That's how crazy Christians are. They write letters about joy from jail. When they throw you in jail, you say, man, we're really getting to them now. Right? When they get so fed up with you, they got to throw them in jail. Paul's saying, you don't want to hear this. If you might want to just pretend like you're closing your ears or something. He actually has said that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't think I've ever prayed that prayer. Right? Paul so loved Jesus that he recognized there's something to learn about Jesus Christ by entering into the fellowship of his sufferings. Wow. I haven't found it yet in me. Say, yes, God, I would like to have the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings. Now, I've done some suffering. I've felt some rejection. I've felt some hatred and rejection from folks because we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're unapologetic in our presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The morality that springs forth from the Bible, we're unapologetic about all of it. And that brings on some of what might be considered little Mickey Mouse sufferings of Christ. But I don't pray for more of it. If it comes, that's good and everything, I guess. You just pray that you can withstand it when it comes. Because until you're rejected, you feel the sting of hatred of people on you because of the faith that you represent. You don't even know how you're going to react. You might fold up like Peter, saying, I don't even know who you're talking about. Jesus, who? Never met the man. I wasn't with him, right? He says, if by any means, this is Paul the Apostle. He's the greatest, he's my greatest hero since Jesus himself. He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He's like saying, it's not that sure a thing. He said, not that I have already attained it or I'm already perfected, but I press on. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith. I press on. Boy, I blew. I know people who woke up and say, man, I blew the last 10 years. I really blew the last 10 years. Well, press on. Fight the good fight of faith. Get back up that perhaps you may attain. That perhaps you may attain the resurrection from the dead. Oh, man, I've been really bad. Press on. Get up. Do it again. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ also laid hold of me. Jesus Christ got your attention for a reason. Now that he's gotten your attention, you have to press on to lay hold of him for the purpose that he laid a hold of you. You have to press on that perhaps you may attain, lay hold of him to fulfill the reason that he originally laid hold of you. It's like tag, you're it. God touches you. Boom. You feel him. You're it. Okay. Run around after God that I may lay hold of him for that which he laid hold of me. Brethren, says Paul the Apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He said, I live my life as a person who, I do not count myself as one who is apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a prize to be won. There's a goal to be won. There's a fight to fight. And it requires your energy, and it requires pressure, and it requires violence. Violence against the forces of sleepiness, of drunkenness, of foolishness, of lust, of greed, of hatred, of anger. Our tendencies to trip over our own feet. Press forward. I hear so many people, and all they've got is testimonies from when they got saved 40 years ago. What did God do yesterday? What is God doing in your life now? What's your testimony of this month? Are you pressing forward? You know how you can tell somebody who prays? They're talking about what God said to them. They're talking about what they got from the Bible. That's how you can talk. You can always tell a prayer. Because a prayer is talking about what's fresh in God in them. You hang out with people, they don't even want to talk about God. They want to talk about church folks. They want to talk about politics. They want to talk about cars. But they don't want to talk about the scripture. You know, I was reading yesterday in the scripture. I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize. Prize, the prize, the prize, the prize. An award. An Academy Award, an Oscar, a Grammy. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? What is that? All week I've been asking God, what is that? What's the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? What is that? Are we competing with each other? I'm not competing with you, but I am competing with me. Because old lazy old me wants to watch TV. You know? Want the American dream. Want Dunkin' Donuts. Krispy Kremes. And he says in 15, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. You see that? Any of you who are mature, listen to what I'm saying. Because I'm talking about having walked this walk for a real long time. And it's a better way. It's a better way. It's a better life. It's a better dream. And you know what? God made it for you. Let me just read one more scripture. It's one of the Timothys, 2 Timothy, I think. Paul writes to Timothy, and he's saying this to this pastor. He said into this church, Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Isn't that what we've just been saying? That our confidence is not in our flesh. Our confidence is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what? You don't have to get feelings. You do this by faith, and then the feelings come. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. These things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." I teach you so you can teach others who will teach others. That's what he's saying. I share this stuff with you so you can share with others who will share with others. That's how Jesus' system works. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Fight the good fight of faith. You've been enlisted into the army of God. "Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." What does that mean? That means you have to play according to the rules. You can't be a Sunday Christian. You got to be a seven-day Christian. You have to play according to the rules. You can't pretend to be Mr. Church Wonderful on Sunday and be a roaring heathen the other six. You got to play according to the rules. Amen? "And the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." He calls us a soldier. He calls us an athlete. He calls us a hardworking farmer. All of those things are great pictures of effort, aren't they? There's not too much laziness in any of those fields of occupation. It says the hardworking farmer is the first guy to enjoy his own crops. Right? The first one who's going to enjoy the fruit of your labor in the Lord Jesus Christ is you. Because he fills you with joy and he fills you with his grace. And he'll come and he'll bless your socks off. He'll give you everything that you need and desire. There's nothing he'll withhold from you. He loves you. Amen? Right.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson. Thank you for listening to OFR today. In Acts chapter 2, during the day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching to a crowd of people. It reads, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as our Lord God will call.' And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. That day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." What if I told you the call Peter gave out on that day, almost 2,000 years ago, still rings true through today? Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life and fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to spend eternity with us in heaven. God wants to have a relationship with you. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. If you want to take the first steps into a relationship with God, pray with me today. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I believe that you lived and that you died on a cross to pay for my sins. I turn from my sin today and walk forward into a new life with you. I accept the free gift of eternal life. I invite you into my heart. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get yourself a Bible, start a prayer life, and get connected with a vibrant church community. OFR is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. If you would like to financially help us continue the 22-year work of On Fire Radio, you can give online at cmcconline.org. If you would like to learn more about Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can check us out online at our website or visit our Facebook page. You can find our Facebook page by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center in the top blue bar. Make sure you like us and check the page for updates. We're excited to announce that we also have a new Catskill Mountain Christian Center app for Apple and Android devices. You can find more information about our app on our Facebook page or on our website. We would love to have you visit us for Sunday morning worship service at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. This is Jake Johnson, and on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, I want to thank you for listening to this edition of OFR. God bless, and we'll see you in church.